he ever sat on the floor like he threw out in the Orient. Billy was sitting down. The reason for that is because he was crying so much he was too weak to stand. And we sat on the floor, and that's how we led Brother Ivan to the Lord. He was sitting down on the floor, I was sitting on the floor. And that's the time of the 67 awakening that we had. It was great. That's how I forgot that.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whether you're sitting, standing, or squatting, or laying down, as long as it happens, right? Praise the Lord. My, good to see you all tonight. Nice to be reminded of those things, Brother Ivan. It cheers our hearts. My, to see it again. It's just to see it again. I want you to turn tonight just to one verse in Psalm 37 and 23. Psalm 37 and 23, and boys, if you get it, first one, get it. If you read it for me, I appreciate it. That's 37, 23. Face the congregation, turn around, and so they can hear you, all right? Verse 23. Okay, Psalm 32 and verse 8. I'll take one more. Okay, turn around. Very good. Thank you very much. I chose the boy because the boy is a little stronger, girl. I didn't want you to think that I left you out deliberately, all right? Now, one announcement I have to make, and I almost forgot it, and that is that Brother Haziel from Man of War Call and would like to know that all of those that are planning to go to the conference, give your names to me and so that I could let him know. And if folks that need accommodations, you know, they'd like to know a little early, and that way we can get that information to him, and he'll be able to help you out. So perhaps tonight after the meeting, or before the weekend, you could let me know. I'd appreciate it very much. Now, even though I spoke on this subject a long time ago, I've been burdened before the Lord to take it up again. Of course, you all know what that is, don't you? You know what it is, don't you? What is it? The potato. Now, years ago, we never called them potatoes. We used to call them taters, all right? Taters. Isn't that true? In fact, Gary, my son-in-law, I think they still call them taters up in Virginia, right? Sure, they still call them taters. You see that? And they haven't been educated yet. We don't say taters. It's a potato. It's not even got an O-R on it. But I'm going to go along with the Virginian and the Southerners. Because that's the way I used to say it when I was a boy. Tater. Pass the tater. You know? Well, we want to talk about the tater family tonight. That's why I chose the tater, all right? Not something like us. It has eyes and it's got a skin. But we're not going to talk about that. The more serious thing about the tater family that really burdens my heart. Because in a lot of ways, we've got a lot of people who are in this tater family. For instance, we got one tater fella, we call him the rotator. Now, you know what it means to rotate? What does it mean to rotate? Yeah. I know you know. Well, I like that. Move from one place to the next. But it's a little more than that. To rotate means to go around and around and around and around. Rotator, you see, he rotates. But he ain't going nowhere, is he? And you got a lot of people in the church today and a lot of people in the world that rotated. They're going around and around in circles, but they're not going anywhere. That's why we need to be guided by the Lord. That's the two verses we had. I will guide thee with mine eye. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And so you're going to have direction. Let me tell you something, young people. If you never have direction in your life, you're going to go around and around and never accomplish anything. You're never going to do anything. You never will get anywhere. It isn't that you have to be famous or become rich or some great person. That's not what I mean. But when you put your hand or your life in the hands of the Lord, you want Him to direct your life. You see, God has a plan for your life. You're not just a blob of human flesh held up by a bunch of bones. You're more than that. You're a human being that God loves and God cares for. And He has a plan for your life. So don't get off that plan. Ask the Lord every day, oh Lord, guide me with your eye. Lead me. In fact, you want to be stable. You want to have a direction in life. And you don't want to be going around in circles all the time. And you're not going anywhere. Just get dizzy, that's all. I only went around once and I'm dizzy. You see? So you don't want to be the tater person who is a rotator. You don't want that. You want to be a little different. You want to have direction and you want to be stable. You want to go on for the Lord. Now, of course, the other person, the other tater fella that I don't like much, he's called the agitator. I don't like him. You got somebody that's agitating, right? An agitator is one that just gets on your nerves. That's about as simple as I know how to explain that. You don't want to be an agitator. You know, you want to encourage people. You want to really be a help to people. But you don't want to be an agitator. You don't want to be a tater boy or a member of that family. You don't want to be him. And a lot of folks who know how to irritate you, you know. And that's not why we're here. God didn't place us here to be an irritator, you see. And He wants us really to bring comfort and help and strength to people and encourage people not to be an agitator. And sometimes your whole life could be a churning, like the agitators inside of a washing machine, just churning away, you know. And we don't want to be that either. And what about the agitator? And James speaks about in chapter 3. He speaks about the tongue. Boy, now that can be a real agitator. You know? If everybody, you remember the old saying we used to have, I don't know if you still use it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will what? They will wag? Quite smart. But let me ask you this. Is it true? Those words hurt? Yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Words do hurt. That's why we don't want to agitate people. We don't want to irritate people and hurt people. Because words, we should ask the Lord to guide our speech. We must always remember, we do not have the right or the liberty to hurt somebody with our words. Of course, if you do, you must remember that it's going to come back. You're going to get hurt yourself. James says the tongue is an unruly member. And it's set on fire as the course of hell itself. You can tame a serpent. You can tame a creature, a lion. But the tongue, no man can tame. But it didn't say that the tongue could not be tamed. It says no man can tame the tongue. But tell me, who can tame the tongue? The Lord. If He guides our footsteps, He can guide our speech. We're not going to be perfect at it, but if we want the Lord to help us, He will help us. And I'm sure He can. Okay, quickly now, there's another tater family, member of the family. We call him the spectator. Now it's getting a little bigger now. Who is he? What is a spectator? Been to a ball game? That's right. That's all they do is watch. They go to an arena. They watch a game. They're up there in the bleachers. They're looking down at it. And they're saying, kill the bum. Why doesn't the umpire pull him out? Somebody ought to fire him. They give him all of that money. And you know, he's a spectator. He's not playing. If he was down there, he couldn't do any better. He's up there, he's a spectator, and that's all he does is looking at other people. He's just looking at what they do. He's looking at them, and he's criticizing, he's condemning, and he doesn't do anything but, you know, except a lot of noise. He's shouting. Like in a boxing match, you kill the bum! That's all he can do. Shout. A lot of noise. And in fact, he is looking many times at those who are doing something, and he's criticizing. In fact, he says, what do you do that for? You ever heard that? You're working, you're doing something for the Lord, you know, maybe up here around the chapel. And he said, what are you doing that for? That's not too bad. But when he says, why are you doing it like that? You're doing it wrong. Well, come give me a hand. Oh, I'm too busy. Now, that's a spectator. You got a lot of them today in the world. Oh, boy. Let somebody do something. They know how to do it better, but they never come to give you a hand. Now, that's the kind of tater fella I don't even want around. You want to help? You're going to do? Instead of just looking on, being a spectator, then you're not going to be much of a help. All right, so much for the spectator. But I like this man. He called a generator. Well, I'm glad we got a generator or generators in this island. And I feel a little warm tonight, but I know if it's in the building, I don't feel that extra. I'm sure glad for generators. I like people who generate energy. I like people who generate things, who can do things. That's what a generator is. And by the way, I know so little of electricity, but I believe the basics of electricity, Grover, if I'm wrong, you help me here, all right? But I think it's born out of friction, right? And magnetism, those brushes, they go around, or the aperture, is that the right word for it? Armature? Hey, see, I'm learning a lot tonight, boy. I'll be a mechanic before the meeting is over. But it's born out of friction. But before we can have the power, we're going to have the friction, you see? So the generator is doing the work. But it's painful sometimes. And it hurts. You work for the Lord. It's going to cost you. It's going to hurt, but do it. Because that's the man we want in the church. That's the man with a driving force. That's where the power is. And of course, the real power is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Oh my, isn't it nice that we can say, Lord, help me to really generate that life for your glory and generate that power for your glory and that life for your glory. Help me, Lord, to really do your work. Give me the power and to be the generator. Oh, yeah, that's a good member of the family. And, of course, there's another one, and he's called the dictator. What is he? What is a dictator? Young ones like to try? Pardon? Okay, he's the one that likes to call the shots, right? He's the one that says, you do this, you go here, you can't back answer. Of course, we don't have these kind of dictators today that I'm thinking of. But the day is coming when we're going to have come on the scene the man called the Antichrist. You've heard about him? The Antichrist is going to set himself up and he's going to say, I am God. And he's going to say, I am the Christ of the world. And he's going to kill anybody that disagrees with him. And he's going to give the commandment. He is what we call a dictator that's coming in the world to come. But in the church, we don't have dictators. God forbid that we should ever have a dictator. But the last one is the one that really irritates me. I say this because he is what we call the devastator. I want you to think for a moment. What does to devastate mean? Give me a simple word. See, I have to say devastator. The devil is a devastator. He is a what? Destroyer. He destroys things. Okay? So really, the great devastator in the world is the devil. But there are things in the world that devastate and destroys as well. Let's name a few. Hurricanes, winds, yes, they destroy. I'm thinking of some other things a little more nearer home now, all right? Who? Robbers, yes. When robbers come, what do they use usually? Gun? How many people have been killed with knives? They destroy with knives, guns. And, bombs, Yes, I thought I heard what I really want to hear, but I'm sure you've got it in mind, some of you. What is the thing in life that...
Hard? Drugs.
Have you ever stopped to think how many young people are destroyed? You ever read, do you read much on it? I don't have my films on it, but you know something? There's nothing in the world that destroys a person quicker than drugs. Somebody comes to you, and I have very little patience with a man who gives you drugs or sells you drugs. I don't have much patience with him. I want to see them saved because I believe that's the answer. But at the same time, he or she is a murderer. I'm going to repeat this. They're killers. In anybody's language, you could go out of here tonight, you get mad with Uncle Frank, you could say, why did he have to say that? I don't care. If anybody's pushing drugs, selling drugs, they are murderers. But they kill you bit by bit. Your brain cells begin to get damaged. You don't think straight. And then it isn't long until you can't sleep. You don't eat properly. And as a parent, you watch your child being destroyed right before your eyes. As you see their bodies wasting away, and they not only lose weight, and they can't sleep properly themselves, they can stay up many, many hours, and they're irritable, and they've got to have it. You have no idea the awful, awful desire, the unquenchable desire that they have. That's the reason why many of our cities and many places, they will steal, they will kill, they will mug, they'll beat a 85-year-old woman to pieces and even kill her just to get $5. One man, $5.75. Not too long ago, he killed his old lady just to buy drugs. They were having a marijuana party, and then these women and men were having a party, and the police came there and said, are you sure everything's all right? They said, yes, everything's all right, officer. Everything's all right. But when the mother went into the bathroom, there she found a little baby that she was bathing in the tub drowned because she had forgotten that she put the baby there to wash, to bathe. All of them were high on drugs. She screamed, but it was too late because she just didn't know what she was doing. The devastator. By the way, boys and girls, if anybody offers you drugs, you know what you should do? Go tell your mommy and daddy right away. In fact, I don't think you're going to lie. But how many would put their hand up tonight? Uncle Frank, I promise God, put your hand up. Don't do it unless you mean it. I promise God that if anybody comes to me to sell me drugs, I'm going to tell mommy and daddy. How many here tonight will say that? Put your hand up now. All right. Hold it up. Because that's one way mommy and daddy will be able to do something about it. Maybe not right away, but at least we will know who they are. In fact, you could come to me too if you want. I'm not afraid. I am angry at the devastators in the world today. Destroying our children, our young, and just to make money, it should be put away. I'm sorry. They should be put away. I want to see them saved too, because if they go to hell, their hell is going to be 10 times hotter. They're exploiting the brains and the bodies of our dear little children. That's part one member of the Tater family. Very destructive. But always remember, behind it all is the devil. Destroys men and women, their souls in hell because they will not believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is the greatest devastator in the world. Right? And so, with God's help, with his word, he will give us the strength and the power to be able to guide us, as we said in the beginning, for his glory. Alright? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, don't let the devil destroy you either. By keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Remember, Christ loved you. He died for you. He He wants you to come to Him and bow the knee to Him and be saved. Shall we pray? Every head bowed. Christians praying. Sing our little chorus just before we go to prayer. Into my heart.
Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Father, we ask indeed that You'll solemnize our hearts with these things of God that we have been speaking about tonight. We ask that we might understand that You have a path, a plan for our life, that we'll seek the direction of the Lord and not to just rotate. Give us the stability we need and the help. Remember our young people. We thank You for them, Lord. Our hearts were cheered the other morning when we had over 20 of them at our prayer meeting. We thank You for this. Oh, God bless them. They're precious little darlings of our land. And many of them in our churches, and we thank You for them. We pray, Lord God, that You'll be with them and that You will strengthen them and be everything that's needed in their life. And we pray, should there be any in our congregation tonight without Christ, oh God, that they might be saved. We commend them to You. Bless this meeting. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Meeting is over.